Self-Acceptance, Finding the Gifts in Your Dark Side with Steve Wells. This is part two of the four-part series. When it comes to self-acceptance, one of the biggest struggles many people have is limiting beliefs. Do we accept them? Does that mean they are okay and we're stuck with them? How do we approach acceptance and limiting beliefs? Well, to answer these questions, I'm happy to have back with us Steve Wells. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Jess.
So, Steve, I know you covered some of this in the beginning, but a quick overview. Can you refresh our memory? What does it mean to accept ourselves, especially limiting beliefs? What does it mean? What results can we expect to see in our lives when we do this?
All right. Well, the average person accepts themselves only if they are a certain way, the kind of prescribed way that they've decided or society has helped them to decide or their parents have helped them to decide that they should be. So it's like I'm only acceptable if I'm this kind of person. And so often we're kind of like, you know, in a battle with ourselves. There's part of us that we're happy with and there's part of us that we're not happy with. And you know, if we do the right thing and we are the right kind of ways we should be, then we're okay. Self-acceptance is actually about accepting all of your parts. Now, that's not the way that most people are expecting us to be. They're expecting, okay, I've got to make one side of me win, you know, the good part has to be there and the bad part, that's evil and that has to be locked away. But actually, strangely enough, what you resist persists. And so, if you, the more you try and push that part of you away, the more it actually is trying to speak to you, trying to be heard. And it's because it's kind of coming from an ancient wound where you, learn to suppress that part of yourself. And believe it or not, that part of yourself that you're trying to suppress does have a gift, something to offer you. You know, let's use the example of someone who's very much a perfectionist. All right, well, they're constantly trying to push away the part of themselves that's kind of the slacker or the part of themselves that just wants to take it easy. And in fact, that part of them could save their life. You know, from just being like a type A personality where they're constantly working all the time, that part of them could be saying, hey, you know, let's have a rest occasionally. It's good for you.
And so with limiting beliefs, when we are beginning to work on them, to go through this acceptance process, you know, we hear that one of the things we have to do with tapping is to target, to figure out the limiting beliefs that are blocking us. Many people know they have limiting beliefs because they see the results from those limiting beliefs in their lives. They're not happy with the way they are right now. But what if they have trouble pinpointing exactly where their negative beliefs are and what they need to accept? Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, all right. Well, I think I might have mentioned in the first class, you know, we have three ways that we can use to identify our kind of unconscious blocks. As you said, most people are quite aware of a whole bunch of things that are not okay about them and that, you know, and beliefs that are stopping them. So you certainly can start immediately applying tapping to those beliefs. But if you're not sure what's blocking you, just seem to be blocked or, you know, why am I self-sabotaging? Why am I doing this? There are three ways that you can use to get your unconscious negative blocks and beliefs to kind of come up to the surface. One way is the classic way to get into a relationship. And, you know, that will immediately bring up your blocks to the surface because it'll be all the stuff that the other person throws back at you that you don't want to accept. That's blocks. The second way is to look at the habits of other people that irritate you, the irritating habits of other people. Those are kind of parts of you that you disown. And it can be really productive for you, tapping on those. And I think it can be productive for the planet because we want to fight against those parts that are represented by other people. And if we can learn to accept them, we can learn to accept each other. And it's not just about self-acceptance. It's actually about accepting that part of me that this other person is reflecting that I don't like. So that's the second way. Look at the things that irritate you about other people, and we're going to look at that today. And I call that irritation tapping. And the third way is to set yourself a big goal, because when you set yourself a big goal, all your blocks and the parts of you that say you can't do that and you're not good enough to do that and all that, they will rise up to the surface. So that's one process you can use. The other way, there's a fourth way actually, is to work with someone else. Because other people can see stuff in you that you won't see in yourself. In fact, your friends can see things in you that you disown in yourself. They're probably constantly trying to tell you that you're good at this or you're good at that, and you won't listen. You know, how often is it that someone does something good and someone tells them that they're really talented or whatever, and they go, no, I'm not. And that's something to really pay attention to and to go, hang on a minute, why can't I actually accept that compliment or that thing that the other person is saying? So, you know, getting stuff from other people is really a good way to do this. And if it's not from your friends, then going to see a therapist or somebody and working through this, that can be another way to bring up your blocks, because they can help you to see stuff that you're too close to.
Now, when we begin to see our blocks and really get a grasp on the limiting beliefs that are holding us back, can you take us through how to approach them? What's the best way to approach them with the tapping?
Yeah, okay. Well, the simplest way is to just start tapping on however you're aware of that belief. So now I assume everybody knows the drill here. You know, for me, when I'm talking about things, I'm tapping. So I'm tapping right now. And I assume the people who are listening to this series are tapping now, and that they've actually done or started their own self-acceptance tapping, like we discussed in the first class. So we're tapping along now, and because even the fact that I'm going to bring up typical beliefs that people have, that's going to resonate for some people. You know, in terms of lack of self-acceptance, or the biggest self-acceptance challenge, it has to be the belief, I'm not good enough. And that belief I see all over the world in variations. I'm not good enough. And, of course, there's a whole bunch of reasons why I'm not good enough, to support why I'm not good enough. But almost all of us seem to hold some variation of that. I'm not good enough. So if you think that belief, or you become aware that that's a belief challenge that you have, the simplest way to start is to just tap and put your attention on the belief. You can think the thought, or you can state the thought in your mind, or you can focus on whatever to you represents the fact that you're not good enough. Just put your attention on that kind of whole belief idea. If you want, you can tap and just repeat the words, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. Every time you tap on each point, you just kind of repeat that in your mind. Or you can just tap out loud and say it if you're in a place where you can feel free to say that. But some people are not so verbal, and you know, they just kind of like have this feeling of not being good enough. And so really I prefer to say just focus on that in your own way and put your attention on that and how it makes you feel, and just do lots and lots of tapping on that. And as you do, you'll find that things start to come up for you and things start to move. And sometimes you move further into that and you feel more strongly than the negative part of that belief. I actually see any kind of a shift as potentially positive, as long as you just keep tapping as you move through the different parts of that.
Okay. And is it important to address or find where that belief started?
Yeah, well, that's this really the second stage. In fact, it's really three simple stages you can use in this. The first is to start the tapping, as I mentioned, on the belief itself, or the belief statement, if you want to do it as a statement. The second thing is to tap on any feeling that belief causes you. So if you have the belief, for example, I'm not good enough, when you think the thought I'm not good enough, just pay attention to where you feel that in your body and what feeling that causes, and then just put your attention on that feeling and do lots of tapping, and then just follow the shifts in that feeling. And the third stage is exactly what you're saying, which is to look at the events and the experiences that you've had where you have learned that you're not good enough. See, there was a time in your life when you didn't even know that you could be not good enough. You didn't even know what that meant. You actually had to learn that there was such a thing as good enough, and there was such a thing as not good enough, and that you were not good enough. And you want to ask some questions at this third stage to try and work out, where did I learn this? Who taught me this? Where did I first learn this? Another way of getting to this is when you're at the feeling stage, if you've got some feelings about that belief, or that belief causes you to feel certain things. You know, quite often when people think the thought, I'm not good enough, they kind of feel like, ugh, really down on themselves. And so a good question that Gary has is, where have I felt this feeling before? And you look back in your life and look at the times where that feeling has come up for you. And the task now is to treat those experiences and events using the really simple process that Gary Craig has outlined called run the movie or tell the story. And this is where you make that event, if you think in images quite easily, you can make the event into a short movie of just a couple of minutes. And you do the tapping as you kind of view the movie of what happened. And at any point that you feel intense, you do lots of tapping until that feeling comes down. Now, if you're kind of doing it as a movie, you can freeze frame it at that point and do lots of tapping on what happened at that moment until that feeling settles down. And then you proceed through the movie until you get to the next part and you do the same thing until you can go through the whole movie without the same feeling. And then you ultimately want to be able to go through the whole movie of what happened without it upsetting you. A variation on that is tell the story, which is where you simply go through the story in your own way. Some people are not so visual, they can't make movies in their minds as easily. But they can kind of remember what happened and what and how they felt about what happened. So they kind of tell the story or run through the story themselves and tap at any point that feels intense. And usually those points are really emotionally intense experiences we've had where someone or somehow we got the meaning of that experience was that we are not good enough. So it might be a situation at school where a child was actually reading something out to the class and then they stumbled on a word and everybody laughed at them. That's a classic example of where someone can learn this. And they can get a kind of belief that, oh, I'm dumb or I'm not smart enough or I'm not good enough. And then they carry that with them. What they're actually carrying is the feeling of that experience, locked in with the meaning that they took from it. And those are kind of fused together. And now they make themselves not good enough. But what's really gluing that to them or what's sticking it to them is the feeling. So if you actually tap on that experience and you release the feeling of it, quite often you can collapse the whole belief. And, sometimes there'll be other situations that are attached to this. Gary is fond of using a metaphor that a guy named Robert Cialdini, he's a social psychologist, he wrote a book called Influence. And he sees a belief as like a tabletop with legs that support it. And the tabletop is like the belief itself, and the legs that support it are the experiences that we've had where we've learned that belief. And if you actually release that attachment of those legs, then the tabletop actually falls down. I like to see it as actually like the legs are like roots. They're kind of rooted to you by the emotion. And when you release the emotion, it's more like the feeling actually just the belief actually just drifts off into the world of ideas, and it's just another idea rather than something that you emotionally attach to.
Right. And Steve, when we begin to do this tapping, do we know it's working when we're feeling relief, or is it that we begin to sense a certain feeling of self-acceptance?
Well, a number of things happen. I say you know that it's working when things are shifting. Because to me, when things are moving, when energy is moving, then we're on a good path. You know, sometimes you might actually find that you get into a stronger feeling, and that's okay. As long as the feeling is actually shifting and you're moving through stuff and you continue to move, the biggest challenge is when things are stuck and they don't go anywhere and they don't shift. That's when you really need to probably work with somebody else. But if you can do this for yourself, and things are moving, and you're moving through aspects, and you're moving through feelings, so the feelings shift to different feelings, or the memories shift to different memories, or you, at various points you get relief, or you find yourself yawning, or some people find themselves burping, or doing all kinds of things that actually are representative of energy moving. And every time you release one of those negative energies, or negative attachments, excuse me, because energies are not negative. They seem negative to us, and it's, you know, like a negative emotional experience. But when that kind of moves through us, we get all kinds of insights and new perspectives and new ways of thinking, as well as emotional relief. It's actually quite a fantastic thing. And I believe that the emotion is actually meant to move through us, and as it moves through us, it actually informs us. It's kind of like energy needs to move through the body, and it gets stuck. And if it's actually enabled to move, then what happens is that we get we gain information and we reprocess the situation of what happened, and we can have a whole bunch of new understandings, and we're no longer attached to that particular idea emotionally. So yeah, part of that is that we start to accept ourselves, and we accept that part of ourselves because we now have a perspective that, hey, that was, you know, I was being like that because of what happened to me as a child. It's not, you know, that I am a no good person. It's actually that I had those experiences, and I was a little child when it happened, and now I'm an adult.
Well, with that, I'd like to dive more into this, because you're going into a little bit about identity, like negative traits that we think we have, whether we get angry or envious or any of those traits. Can you explain to us how these negative traits we see in ourselves, how we can begin to accept those and the difference it'll make?
Yeah, all right. Well, the first thing is to identify the negative traits that you see in yourself that you don't like about yourself. You know, like, if I use a personal example, you know, one of the things that I had a lot of at one point was, you know, I found myself yelling too much at the kids. You know, I was like, oh, I was really upset that I would get irritated and I'd end up yelling at the kids. I do what most people do. I put myself down for being such a bad father, and then I just feel worse and I end up behaving worse. So what we want to do here is, first of all, identify those negative traits. And then you want to do some tapping on the situations where that comes up, and you can certainly do some tapping so that those feelings don't come up so much. And in a self-acceptance sense, you can also do some tapping on, I'm like that and I accept myself even though I'm doing that. That'll be a big reaction. You'll have a big reaction to that. Most people go, no, I don't accept myself for being like that. And then, like I mentioned in the first class, you can actually follow that. I don't accept myself for being like that. And even though I don't accept myself for being like that, I'm going to accept myself because that's the way I'm being, kind of thing.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because I know the theories behind the shadow and the dark side, someone who really developed it is Debbie Ford. And you have a question that Debbie Ford asked that you mentioned is really helpful. So can you talk about this question?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. When I read her new book, which she's done with Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson, I thought she had an excellent question. What kind of person does this? So what kind of person does this? Now, there's going to be two different types of answers to that question. One is you're going to go, okay, well, what kind of person does this is kind of a mean person or an arrogant person or whatever. And that's going to help you to identify the belief about yourself, where you go, okay, you know, because I have that trait, that means I am this kind of person. But Debbie's actually meaning that question in a different way. She actually is saying, what kind of person does this, meaning what kind of person in your past exhibited that behavior? And you had a reaction to that. So if I look back, I can think, yeah, okay, I can remember being yelled at by my dad. And I had a reaction to that. Certainly, like most people, when I was a kid and I was being yelled at like that, I was like, I am never going to be like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so at that time, again, we're experiencing the negative emotion, and we're forming an attachment to it. Strangely enough, even the stuff that we reject, we actually form an attachment to it. And so Debbie's question is useful because we can go back and I can use that question to identify experiences in the past where, you know, where I was yelled at. And I can release some of the attachment to those feelings. And as I actually accept that, I accept my father a little more because I see that, hey, you know, I was being a right so-and-so at the time. I wasn't, you know, being so good. And I also see him from a new perspective. Rather than just the perspective I had when I was in it of being a child, I can actually see it from an adult perspective and understand that he was under some of the same stresses that I'm under now as a parent. And I gain a dual acceptance, an acceptance of him, and I feel better about my father, and I kind of feel better about my childhood. And I actually realize, yeah, this is the typical kind of stuff that happens to all parents, and I gain a perspective on my own stuff. And strangely enough, as that happens, I don't actually need to do that behavior as much. And that settles down.
That makes a lot of sense. Steve, with that, would it be okay to show the listeners what this is like, maybe taking the example of someone tapping on their father in the way that you connect the traits that you've seen with someone else and your own traits and the back and forth that you mentioned?
Sure. So what do you want to pick, the example that I gave, or do you want to...
Yeah, I think that's a great example. We can all relate to things that our parents have done that we said that we wouldn't do.
Well, I can come up with, like I just mentioned, you know, I can come up with lots of examples of that in my life. So we're still sticking on the negative traits at the moment. Is that what you mean? Or
yes.
Yeah, because another way of doing this is to think about something that irritates you about other people, kind of do that irritation tapping process, and then do the tapping on that.
Before we do the tapping, do you want to tell us a little bit about the irritation tapping and how these two work together?
Yeah, well, they're kind of dual ways of doing things. You know, this way we're doing here, you just identify the negative trait that you have and do some tapping on that, and do some tapping on the fact that, you know, you're doing that and the upset that, you know, the feelings that causes you. And then you're doing some tapping on what it means about you, and you're asking, like, you know, what kind of person does this, and what kind of person in my past did this, and you're doing some tapping on the events that happened to you associated with that. In the irritation tapping process, you're actually starting with a projection with the other person where there's a negative trait, but it's not something that you like. It's something that someone else does. And you're tapping on your irritation about that trait. In the end, it becomes the same thing because, when I ask myself what kind of person yells at their kids, I can go back and see my father and experience situations where he was yelling at me. And, I'm tapping on that kind of irritation of that causes me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So do we have to split it up like that? Do we have to do it in that particular order?
No. there's a million ways to do this, and you can just follow what comes up for you. As long as you're tapping and as long as you just follow what comes next, it can be really easy. A lot of people get caught up with this, and they're looking for the formula to follow, and we're trying to say, you can do it step one, step two, step three. But sometimes, you might be tapping on a trait that you don't like in yourself, and then another thing you don't like about yourself comes up, and so you just follow that and tap on that. And just follow what comes up in your body and in your mind, and just tap on whatever comes up as the next thing. Let's do this as a hypothetical example. Do you want to kind of role play it or bring up something to start with, and then I'll just follow along?
Yes, definitely. So I'd love to start with what we were talking about, someone who is finding that they're becoming angry at other people and how it reminds them of, let's say, their father.
All right, so we're going to role play this, and you can just make up the responses for the other person, if you like, just as if it were you. I'm sure this is not you. But it'll be helpful for some people because they'll be the typical sorts of things. So if we're working on this and you're saying, okay, I'm getting angry all the time, then I'm going to be first of all saying, okay, and we're tapping, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
We're tapping on, okay, so where does that anger come up? And you know, let's role play this. You just make up something, you know, that someone might say, where would that come up?
And where are we tapping, Steve?
Oh, you're tapping anywhere you like.
Anywhere. Okay.
Now, I know in EFT, people are used to tapping in a certain sequence. So if you prefer, you can start in that sequence. We don't do setups, and we don't find that they're necessary. If you prefer, you can put it into setups such as, and you can tap on the karate chop and say, even though I'm getting angry at other people, and, you know, or even though I'm angry at such and such a person, Which one do you want to do? Angry at a certain person or...
Yeah, why don't we take the example of finding that you're, say, me, hypothetically, that I keep being angry at my kids.
Okay, all right. And we know that's not you because you ain't got kids. That...
Yes, that is true.
If you were a man, I could say none you know of, but since you're a woman, we can't say that you don't have any that you know of, because you'd know if you had them.
I would know. All right, I would hope so.
So you're getting angry at your kids, all right? So we can just start with tapping, and if you're using standard EFT, even though I'm angry at my kids, I accept myself.
Okay, even though I'm angry at my kids, I accept myself.
And you can also do the kind of self-acceptance part of that. Even though I don't accept myself for being angry at my kids.
Even though I don't accept myself for being angry at my kids.
In fact, I completely reject myself for being angry at my kids.
In fact, I completely reject myself for being angry at my kids.
I accept myself.
I accept myself.
And even though that's not true.
And even though that's not true.
I'm going to accept myself anyway.
I'm going to accept myself anyway.
Okay. And then we just do a bit of tapping on, being angry at the kids. And we're just tapping through the points. So I'm just actually tapping through the points as I'm talking. Obviously, the listeners can't see this, but we're just tapping through the points. And I just want you to think about where that comes up and, what kind of things make you react in that angry way and so on. And we'll just do a bit of tapping on that.
So if what's coming up is that I get very angry when I'm stressed, when there's too many things going on and they're not cooperating with me. Do I need to say that out loud or do I just think about, say, those crazy mornings?
If it's crazy mornings, that's so typical because for families in the morning, they've got to get kids off to school or they've got to get to work or whatever, there's so much that needs to be done. So, yeah, you can just kind of go into that in your mind and just tap on that and just... And just tap on what that is. Or if you prefer, you can say out loud, I'm stressed in the mornings, and just tapping on the eyebrow point.
And if it helps us focus, can we talk about it like it's a story, like we're telling a friend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, to me, that's a better way of doing it. Because, sometimes in EFT, it can feel a bit artificial that you have to make up a statement. But actually... It's more useful for you to go into the situation that's happening in your mind and just go through what actually happens and just tap on whatever comes up for you. So you're just tapping and so you tell me about a typical thing that would happen where this would come up.
Sure. So I wake up in the morning, I'm running around to get everything organized for myself and the kids are not cooperating, they're not listening to me. If I need them to do something, I have to ask them three times before they do it.
Okay.
The toaster oven keeps getting jammed.
All right. Now, as you're telling me that, what's the feeling of this?
Anxiety.
Okay. All right. And how are you aware of that? Do you feel it in your body?
In my chest.
Okay. So let's focus on that chest feeling, and all I want to do is tap. Okay. And just put your attention on that feeling, and you're tapping on the points, and just pay attention to that feeling, and just notice it. And tell me, is it a pressure? Is it a tension? Is it tightness? Is it a heaviness? What's the feeling?
It's like a frantic moving energy.
Okay. So all we're going to do is put our attention on that frantic moving energy, and we're going to tap. And then you can just tap on any feeling like that and just follow those feelings as they move through the body or whatever. But as you do that, sometimes people will remember an incident, or you can ask the question, where have you felt this before in your life?
Well, my father would do the same thing.
Okay. All right. So then now let's do some tapping on, and we can say this in words, just tap and say, I'm stressed just like my father was.
I'm stressed just like my father was.
He was a stress head and I'm a stress head.
He was a stress head and I am a stress head. I've inherited his genes.
Okay, and we could go through doing some tapping on that. Can you remember a specific example of when your father was doing that or being like that?
Sure. Hypothetically again,
yep.
I was in the county fair and... I was really happy because I just won a prize and he got really irritated with me because I wasn't walking fast enough and he wanted to get home and he got really angry, and I just felt like he ruined what was a really good day.
Okay, so even as you tell me that, what's the feeling of that?
Feeling bad.
Okay.
That I was being yelled at.
All right. So let's tap on that. Is that a hurt feeling? Is it a sad feeling? Is it a?
It's a sadness.
Okay. So let's tap on that sad feeling. And again, you just, however you're aware of that, there's two ways you can do this. One is you can focus on the thoughts or the memory of what happened, and that will tune you into the feeling. The other way is to just go with the feelings in the body that you have and just tap on them. And some people will find that they keep switching between them. That's fine too. Just follow whatever comes up. You're tapping on that sad feeling. And where's that feeling?
It's also in my chest.
Okay. And describe that feeling to me. What's it like? What's it feel like?
It's still that moving feeling, but it's very just slow and like a slow and sluggish feeling.
Okay. All right. So let's stick with the sluggish feeling. And part of us wants to resist that feeling. What I'm going to ask you to do is to actually tap on allowing that feeling to be there. And just tap and keep the intention that you know, that feeling is there and just letting it be there as it is. And sometimes I say to people, what does a feeling want to do? Like sometimes there's a constricting feeling and it wants, you know, it's like, oh, it feels like it wants to constrict tighter, or there's a tension and it wants to get more stronger, or there's a kind of sluggishness that kind of like, yeah, it wants to kind of expand, or whatever it wants to do. What does it feel like that feeling wants to do?
It feels like it wants to become even more sluggish, just stop moving, just be still.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I want you just to tap, and I want you to tap on allowing that to just letting that do that.
Letting it be still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the challenge we have, of course, is because this is a more hypothetical than real, but it's very, very common when people do that when you stop resisting that feeling, it actually lets go. And it starts to shift and transform. So it's very, very common that what we resist persists, and what we accept lets us go. So this is just, you know, one way you can get at that.
So if people have two separate emotions, which happens often, so I started talking about an anger.
Yep.
And then I talked about how you know, as if I was someone that had a father that had an anger issue. But then the feeling that I felt was sadness. So what happens when you start getting different feelings?
Well, that's so very common. In fact, Larry Nims taught us that underneath anger is typically fear, sadness, and hurt. And so what the example you came up with was really excellent, because it's very, very common that underneath the sadness, the anger, what's really driving the anger is the sadness or the hurt or fear. But very, very often it's kind of like a deep hurt. And unless we get in there and do some tapping on the deep hurt, we don't get the same relief. You know, you can do tapping on the anger till the cows come home, but if that's been driven by an underlying hurt, then it's going to keep, if you like, it's going to keep on being generated. When you release some of those, that deep hurt, you really get some leverage on the issue. So if there are different feelings, I like to just follow the shifts to those feelings, because quite often the next one that comes up is actually a deeper feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so even if someone doesn't address the anger because they begin to realize that there's this underlying feeling of sadness or hurt or what that feeling might be, when they address that underlying sadness, then it will impact the anger and how often they find themselves being angry? Okay.
Oh, yeah. But let's stick with this example. If we're tapping on that incident where you went through, okay, this is what happened with Dad. Now we're going to go back over that event and go, okay, let's just go back to that you know, what happened there, and see if that feeling is the same. So if it is the same, then there's more work to do. Or if there's still some bad feeling, there's more work to do. Ultimately, we want to be able to go through that event and see if that feels the same to us. We might also go searching for other events where we had that, or as you do tapping on that event, you might find that another event comes up where you had that same feeling, or where you know, Dad was angry and it caused you to feel hurt or sad or upset in some way.
So should we stop and begin to search these events and then begin to tap, or should we just be tapping while we're asking ourselves these questions and kind of brainstorming and figuring out?
Oh, yeah, I say tap as you go. You know, again, people have learned that they'd like to do tapping in EFT in rounds where, okay, we kind of identify all this and then we start tapping. What we've found is that if you keep on tapping even while you're trying to think up the stuff, it actually moves through much more easily, and you're more easily able to find stuff. And even if you don't, you've actually done some tapping, and the tapping itself is beneficial. You know, we find that the continual tapping process, we call this, it actually gives you beneficial shifts in your energy anyway. So even if you're not, you know, finding core issues and all that kind of stuff, if you're just tapping as you're going through, you're getting the benefits of energy moving through your system. It's all good for you.
Okay, that's great. Steve, between this week and next week, do you have any tips or anything that you'd like to refresh people's memory on until the next time we speak to each other?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a bunch of things that people can do from what we've done in this session. One is, if you're aware of some negative beliefs of your own, you can start tapping on those negative beliefs using the three-step process that we went through. Number one, tap on the belief itself and do a lot of tapping on the belief as an idea or as a statement. Do some tapping on the feeling that gives you, and then ask yourself, where did I learn this? And do some tapping on the events and experiences where you learned that. You can also list all the things you don't like about yourself. By the way, for a future class, and I keep saying class, but all the Australians are going to think, oh, my gosh, he's doing an American accent. we say class, actually. so I'm just assuming that most of the people are in the USA that are listening here, but I know there are people all over the world. So the people who are not in the US are going to notice me saying class instead of class. But for a future class, you might want to identify some positive things about yourself. And we're going to be looking in the fourth class on owning your own light, the positive sides of yourself. But for this class, we're doing the tapping on the negative traits you don't like about yourself, and we'll maybe even start a list of positives, and we'll do some tapping on that in a later session. Find those negative traits and list them, and do some just tapping on the fact that you have those traits and how bad that is and the feelings that gives you. And then ask yourself, what sort of person is like this? What sort of person does this? And then look at, okay, what sort of person in your past did that? What sort of people have you experienced that have done that? And then go back to those events and do some tapping on those. I think you'll find it really, really helpful, because as you accept them more, you actually accept yourself more.
That's amazing. That's great, Steve. Thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom in this class, and I'm really looking forward to next week.
Excellent.